The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for May 8th. Holidays today, it's Child Care Provider Day. Or Daycare Provider. Irish Day, it's Military Spouse's Day. The Friday before Mother's Day is always Military Spouse Day. National Outdoor Intercourse Day. Well, what? National Train Day. National
Cash, it is a lusty month.
It is lusty month of May. Oh dear. National Windmill Day, No Socks Day, and that's socks, I said, VE Day, and World Red Cross Day, World Red Crescent Day. Happy 36th birthday to NXT, WWE NXT wrestlers. There's two of them. Tommaso Ciampa is 36 today, and Io Shirai is 31 today. So we've got two NXT birthdays today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Always can use help, and it seems like the world's starting up again, and maybe that'll be happening sooner than later. Welcome to the show. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. I'm here with DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. How's it going, DC?
It is going. You mentioned Tommaso Ciampa's birthday.
Yes.
Did you see the recent pictures of him?
Yeah.
Like, dude shredded. Was shredded before.
Yeah.
But now he like did this 13-week thing, and his old pictures make him look fat.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Dude, straight shredded.
He's not. He's got like no body fat on him, and it's not even natural to have no body fat. I mean, you really got to have a certain percentage. But I've seen it's like scary.
I would be happy to be under three bills.
Yeah, I
would. Here's Tommaso Ciampa already looking good. Now he's looking even better. Thanks for that.
Well, he's got a baby now and everything, so he's got he wants to live forever. So yeah, definitely. And Io Shirai, 31. I'm the Cash Man. I mentioned that already. I'm here with DC Dan Cole, here with Furby. What's up, Furbs?
Not much, back in the great state of New York.
That's right. That's right. DC was in Tennessee last week, and you ended up going down to New Jersey, right? And
yeah, it was in the old AC for a few wrestling shows, and it was quite some fun. Posted some pics online, still got some more to post. Had some adventures, so I didn't quite make it for the second round of posting yet.
But, gotcha. Well, we'll talk about it, bro. Hold on to it. Hold on. We're here with the artiste, Rob Sanderson. Rob, how are you doing tonight? Today?
Good morning. I'm just shocked because even going back to Tommaso Ciampa's 2CW and ESW days, I always thought he was like a good amount of years older than me. And finding out that he's barely older than me is kind of... he looks quite a bit older.
Yes.
I don't know, like that grizzled gray and stuff is something. But man, that kind of made me feel old. So yeah.
He's got a baby. I think he's got a baby face underneath all that hair. That's why he keeps the hair on there. To give the illusion.
That facial hair certainly makes him look at least 10 years older than it does when he doesn't have it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah, he happy birthday, Ciampa. Definitely he's one of my favorites to watch. I feel terrible because he puts on the best matches and loses in the long run every time. Someone has to. I mean, he put over every champion, I swear, in NXT in the last like 2 years, and in some incredible matches.
He's still somebody though that like he's had such a good run and one of those pretty good indie guys that, I mean, back in the day, we didn't think any of these guys were going to get hired. That wasn't the case back in the day. So he's had quite a better run than I guess I ever expected, and certainly deserves it. So
it just stinks because he was so fire as champion, and then unfortunate with breaking the neck. He was going to have the big payoff with Gargano WrestleMania 35 weekend, and then basically he's great competitor and great wrestler, but no like spotlight match sense really.
No, but he's also put over like every champion in NXT too as well. He makes him look great. So you need a guy like him, and I'm sure, and he doesn't even want to move up. I've heard stories in the past where they, you know, they've talked to him and like, where would he like to go? And he's like, I'm where I want to be. You know, I mean, he's been a wrestler for many, many years, but I think he really started to make his name a Ring of Honor before coming to NXT, is where he really had that crazy Ciampa that, you know, he would just, you know, come out of nowhere and hit someone with a shovel or something, you know, or he definitely created that unpredictable character, which, and
the psycho killer.
Yeah. Psycho killer. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He did come out and say this week he wants to be on WrestleMania 38, so maybe he does want to take the step up at some point.
Well, NXT should have been all over WrestleMania, but for some reason they stepped back this past year, and you know, they just got the takeovers, which you know, but they, you know, they should be. I mean, we had main event or one of the women's match was like in the end of WrestleMania 2 years ago with Charlotte Flair and Rhea. And, who knows? We'll see. I'm not going to criticize him because they're in a bad position already with that. You know, the world.
He wants to be on WrestleMania 38, and I want him to be on WrestleMania 38. But at the very least, maybe he can be on WrestleMania Unforgiven or WrestleMania Fully Loaded or one of those coming up.
WrestleMania Survivor Series. Yeah. We're just going to beat that to death.
WrestleMania in your house, beware of dog too.
I will say we do have WrestleMania. We do have WrestleMania. What's the next one called? WrestleMania
Backlash,
which is a week from tomorrow. And I'm sure we'll hit it heavily next week. But one thing I want to start off talking about this week, and Ciampa, you got a lot of our time this week, but you certainly deserve it, sir. Is we didn't really talk about it last week at all, but Daniel Bryan lost the loser has a leave SmackDown match against Roman Reigns. You know, it was his last chance to go for the belt, and Daniel Bryan lost. And you know, and it's interesting because after that happened, it kind of came out that his contract was up, and that he actually I think he wrestled on that show without being under contract as well. Makes sense. A lot of times, that's how in the olden days they would, you know, someone would leave one territory and go to another as they'd lose, you know, lose that, you know, lose a loser leaves town match. But Daniel Bryan, what do you guys think? I mean, is Daniel Bryan done with WWE? Or, I mean, I know that he wants to scale back because he's like 40 or he's going to be 40 or something like that. But, you know, does he want to be with WWE still? Or, you know, I mean, is this time for AEW to, like, you know, steal him? You know, I remember he was a guy who, if you remember or not, remember is that very first AEW pay-per-view, his contract like was up the day before it, and there was a lot of hype towards, you know, he's got a lot of friends in AEW. And what do you think, DC?
I number one, I think WWE would be foolish not that they maybe already haven't re-signed him, but if he wants to scale back, you could use him as a producer. You can use him as a trainer. There's so many opportunities and ways to use him if he wants to scale back the in-ring stuff. That being said, but knowing Daniel Bryan and him getting this, you know, second chance he's had at being in the ring, I have to imagine he's looking at any possible opportunities.
You would think so. He's even mentioned, and I mean, if you go back in the last couple of weeks, he's done a lot of podcast interviews and stuff, and a lot of them where he's saying that, you know, he would still like opportunities against other guys and other companies. And you know, WWE is not the kind of company that would make that happen, allow him to go, you know, unless now it's MLW, which apparently MLW has now got an agreement with WWE. But beyond that, there's a people he wants to wrestle still, and they're not in WWE. Do you think that would be groundbreaking if they wanted to keep him so bad that they would allow him to go out and do like a couple indie shows or something. DC, or that's crazy. But what do you think, Ferbs?
Yeah, I think honestly with Daniel Bryan, one, WWE is already pushing very hard to try to bring him back with what kind of contract, I don't know. I assume it would probably be more of a limited type deal, you know, so many matches a year, more of a backstage role. But just like you said, Cash, I mean, he has aspirations of wrestling all these other guys. I mean, to be honest, if it's not like some sort of scaled back part-time deal with WWE, I don't think he ever signs like a full-time contract anywhere ever again. I think he wants something where he can have that flexibility, where he can have these dream matches, you know, and that he's come out and said he wants to have. So I think it's either no contract at all or some sort of part-time deal with or scaled back deal with WWE.
Rob, what do you think?
Selfishly, I want him to go elsewhere. His time is limited in the ring, and the millions of things that he can offer this industry in terms of coaching, training, maybe commentary, all sorts of stuff, he can still do that at any point. It's not time for that yet. So if WWE needed to, I don't know, conserve money in terms of contract extension options so they could pay Eva Marie or something, I don't know. I would love to see him venture out for, even if it's just for a year or something like that. I don't think there's too much left for him to do in WWE, but there's plenty that he could go do in wrestling. There are a lot of dream matches out there that still haven't happened. So that's what I want. I don't know if we're going to see that. I think WWE would be foolish to let him go anywhere. And I would, if I'm Vince, I would just pay the man.
Yeah, and the thing is, and we don't, something maybe not a lot of people know is he really did a lot. He was working on the booking committee this past year, and like we've talked about a few times on the show before that he would never put himself over somebody else. So when he was losing to like Cesaro or other guys, that was a choice that he made, and they, you know, they're the ones who actually built up the match for WrestleMania against Roman Reigns. You know, but he wanted to lose and put guys over. And that's what you would do. That's a completely unselfish thing that, you know, you would think a booker would do, you know, but not an active wrestler booker, because we've seen it too many times where an active wrestler booker will put himself over everybody and, you know, and put.
It's nice to see that unselfish attitude. The only thing I would say with this is it's not, I mean, guys have careers for decades where they're on top and then they fall back and then they're on top again, whatever. But literally, like I said, there's nothing else for him to accomplish in WWE. He's had his WrestleMania moment. There's not one thing that I can think of that he could do in WWE that's bigger than what he's already done. Yeah. So that's why I want to see. That's why I'd love to see him in AEW. That's why I'd love to see some kind of Japan thing, whatever the case is. Like, I just think there's other stuff out there that maybe would be more satisfying to him personally.
Yeah, I agree with that, because really the only thing WWE can offer him right now that they have to give him is money. And I don't think that's anything he's particularly interested in.
I don't think
he cares so much about the money. I think it's more so just getting out there and doing what he loves, and that's wrestling.
Well, he's really frugal. I hear that. And I mean, you know, the funny thing is when Samoa Joe was cut, I remember reading a tweet he wrote where he goes, you know, the only bad thing about this is why did they give me the money in the first place? Because that's what Joe said. Because all of a sudden, you don't have the money until you get to WWE, and then WWE gives you like insane money, and then they take it away from you. And that's what Joe was, you know. So I think Daniel Bryan, I think he'll do okay. I think his wife's got a career as well on VH1.
His wife has tons of money, and Bryan has a history of. I mean, when everything went down with like the Nexus back in the day, and then he took some indie bookings and he fulfilled those bookings when he didn't have to. He wrestled Jay Freddy in Watertown and then showed up on SummerSlam or whatever the next night or something. Like, it's, I don't think it's just about the money for him. I think he's the type of person who just loves the business and wants to experience these things. So I don't know if he could go work. Maybe he's somebody else that I hate to, this is the first name that comes to mind. Maybe he wants to go work with Darby Allin or whoever. I mean, I just think there's so many things out there that there's nothing. I can't think of a dream match in WWE. I can't think of a title run, a Mania moment, anything. Like, there's nothing for him to do that's going to seem as good as it once was. And that kind of sucks to be in that situation. Like, I don't know. Like, if you win the Stanley Cup, that's awesome. You win it a second time, it's still awesome. But is it as fun as the first time?
Yeah. No. You know, you're right, unless you're the MVP. You know, the thing, one thing that they were selling the Royal Rumble on this year with him was, I've never won the Royal Rumble. I'm going to win the Royal Rumble and go, you know, and I mean, that, you know, that's not a big deal. Only certain people win the Royal Rumble. This guy's had it all already. He's, he's definitely, you know, you're right. There's not a lot for him to do there. I mean, but, he.
Maybe him disappearing for a while and then coming back would be a good thing, though. That would build a little excitement. And let him come back as a surprise at some point with a rumble or something like that. If he's healthy enough now to be wrestling again after not being able to, then who knows how long he could continue to work in the ring. So maybe it's okay for him to kind of – sometimes people have to disappear a little bit, let them be forgotten about a little bit, and then build that excitement of, oh, my God, they're back, and this is awesome.
And I was thinking, too, is he maybe before he signs an extension with WWE, he might be able to get in a few independent dates. You know, or a couple, you know, like he did the last time when he got fired and they brought him back a month later, you know, or they re-signed him a month later. He still got in a bunch of indie dates, you know. He that's what he wants. He wants to go, you know, and Ring of Honor, I guess, is chomping at the bit to talk with him. I saw that there
were. I hate to put this out there, too, but like if he does stick around NXT, at least there's matches he hasn't done. There's maybe some dream stuff there that like that's not as big as like winning the world title at WrestleMania. But I mean, maybe that would at least shake things up a little bit. So he's not like SmackDown is Roman Reigns' show and it's going to continue to be for a while. Brian on SmackDown doesn't make sense for a long time.
Yeah. But I was going to say, you mentioned it and I was thinking it like, that's the only place I have matchups I would want to see him involved in.
Definitely. And he's
like,
unselfish.
I want to see a Daniel Bryan. I want to see Daniel Bryan, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, Daniel Bryan, get another Adam Cole match, you know, get that going again. Daniel Bryan, Finn Balor, like there's so much he could do in NXT.
And he can work
maybe
with him.
Maybe that'll be enough for him, but there's nothing for him on SmackDown, and nobody wants to be associated with Raw right now.
Pretty much. Even Marie. No. On that note, we got a break. We got to come back. I want to talk about Blood and Guts, what happened on Wednesday night. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man, of course, your humble host with DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, and Furby. And we are talking the world of pro wrestling. Thank you so much for listening. And we couldn't have done it without Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Don't Slight Empire Culver. Got good news this week. Salvatore's at the garage door. Is going to be reopening, so look for it. Go in there. Please stop by, and hopefully we'll get UFC back there soon. But we're here talking wrestling, like I mentioned. The first segment, we had to talk about Daniel Bryan because it was such a big deal. But this past week on A&E, that A&E is a channel in which you're watching biography and what's the other thing on A&E?
I was going to say it's A&W, as Danhausen calls it.
A&W.
Some refreshing root beer.
A&W wrestling. We got to see Blood and Guts this past Wednesday. They've been promoting it, you know, and yes, honestly, it was like a dual cages. And it was Blood and Guts, and it was a pretty intense match. A lot of big moves, a lot of Chris Jericho, big, you know, at the end getting, you know, just absolutely destroyed after they, you know, they threatened to hurt him and made the other team give up. And, you know, it was just, you know, a lot of fun, though, and there was a lot of blood. And I mean, listen, okay, I may have thought about it after a while and said, you know, maybe there's too much blood, but it was fun watching the two gangs going against each other, you know. What did you guys think of Blood and Guts? And I mean, yes, there was an hour of matches before that where we got Cody Rhodes and QT Marshall, and we got I'm trying to remember all the matches now. Just I know they were taped the week before, but we got
Moxley and Kingston versus.
That match kind of started out in the crowd for a while, and eventually made its way to the ring. But what did you guys think of the Blood and Guts match? Yeah, I know it was hyped up. It was well worth the hype, and I think it really paid off. Artiste, what did you think?
So I liked the match. I mean, I'll go back to I think the show would have been okay if it was kind of the match and then maybe that like 20 minutes or so they had before the match where they did some other interviews and stuff. I don't know if we really needed the other matches before that. The match was good. I think Guevara looked like a star. I mean, some of those double springboards and Spanish flies and stuff were just awesome. Everybody had their moment in there. Wardlow looks like he still needs a little work. I thought just the match was really good. It's tough going to commercial break during matches like that. I understand you kind of just have to. It is what it is. The finish, I think, was very smart in terms of we knew Pinnacle had to win. Having somebody else save Jericho in terms of Sammy, you know, surrendering made sense. Having MJF still toss him off the top of the cage made sense. Like, that's perfect booking in terms of that. Obviously, I don't even need to say the part that we're all thinking about Jericho and the crash pad and all of that. I wish maybe that had been rehearsed with somebody else ahead of time in terms of the angle of the camera.
Yeah, there was definitely
the under part of the metal, whatever. I just... That's two big gimmick matches in a row where everything's good, and then after the match is over, it just kind of kills the mood. And I agree with like Matt Hardy got legitimately hurt with a big bump with Sammy Guevara.
Yeah,
we need to protect wrestlers. People understand that this is a work. It's okay for Jericho to go into a crash pad situation. I don't know if we need this giant thing on the stage that's not normally there. I don't know if we need it to be like that brown foam cardboard, whatever, underneath the metal kind of thing, whatever. Like, it just kills the vibe. Like, I just, it's disappointing to see it end like that, especially after everything those guys gave the match. It's no fault of Jericho's or any of those guys. Just, I hate that that's what you leave thinking about, because up until that moment, everything was good. And if something had happened after that, maybe we'd forget it better, but that's how it went off the air. So
I agree, and I think the one point and even him going through and there being the crash pads there, to me, wasn't even the biggest of deals. It was the fact that I can't remember if it was JR or Excalibur, but they pinpointed a few times throughout the match that was, you know, steel the whole time. So obviously,
and the concrete stage that Excalibur talking about.
Like if you don't pinpoint it out and they throw him out and he goes through, it is what it is. Who cares? But the fact that it isn't what they said it was, and it's fine. But again, it seems like the production value after the match, two times in a row in big promoted matches, has kind of dumbed down the match a little bit, if you know what I'm saying.
One thing I want to quickly add into the whole commercial break thing, I understand the way everything was timed out, but I don't love Tully attacking Bryce, MJF sneaks out of the cage, Jericho follows him, all of that happening in picture in picture. Like, maybe that is restaurant quality picture in picture, but I need that during the actual show, like when I'm really paying attention.
And I felt like there was a lot of stuff that even when not on commercial, things got missed. Like, there were parts where they honed in on too much of just one-on-one action when there was a lot of multi-man spots throughout on like the other ring. I get it. You can't capture everything, especially if this is live, but there was just too much one-on-one action at, you know, too much throughout the match where there should have been like a wider pan view or maybe another camera angle that showed more action going on.
It's interesting. That was a big debate in our living room as we were watching that, especially because we've got a couple people living here that are very involved in the production side of things. And I tended to defend the director a little bit, but also understand that a 10-man match, you've got five different things or more going on at a time, and it's tough to capture everything. But I agree with you on that, because there were times, even when Jericho first got in there, you couldn't really see him sneak the bat out that he brought in there. Little things like that. That maybe there needs to be more communication with the production side of things. Make sure you don't miss this. Make sure you don't miss this. But it's so easy to miss that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I get you can't see everything. Like, I'm not complaining about that. But I think there was just too much one-on-one action for that many people to be in one ring.
You know,
two rings.
WWE does a good job at these multi-men matches like that. Because what they do is they try to clear the ring out and do one-on-ones with a lot of people. But there was a lot of things going on at the same time, you know, and it was, and sometimes I think that maybe, yes, you, production wise, they could have held off and not had like two big spots back to back. It's cool when they do it and they can like go from spot to spot real quick. But there was only so many cameramen. There's that ring was gigantic. I mean, really, to get around the outside of that. I knew they were going to miss some stuff, and then they were going to, I heard, like for instance, Jericho blading was obvious as tomorrow during in the match, and they caught him on the camera.
I was going to say Harwood taking his out very in the first couple minutes.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is, again, it's tough, but like at least maybe you wouldn't see that on WWE. Well, first of all, there's not really that kind of blood on WWE these days. But you also, you know, with the amount of quick zooms and flashes and all that aggressive camera work, like that's how you miss that stuff. So that's how WWE is able to hide that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, Jericho pulled a Shane McMahon, except for Shane McMahon would have landed on top of a desk that would have been before the collapsible structure underneath it. You know, they know how to like kind of hide these big bumps that that there's like a freaking crash pad underneath there or whatever. And it's like, unfortunately, the cameraman was sitting right there when Jericho hit. And if they just pulled the view up just a little bit, you wouldn't have seen some of that stuff pop up underneath it, you know?
I would have even, like, just spray painted the underneath of the
silver or something,
metal grating or something or whatever. Like, little details like that is what
I think. Cardboard diamond plating?
Yeah,
whatever it is. It was like, or like a sticky foam at the bottom, whatever that is. I just, as soon as I saw that, I was just like, oh, no. Here we go again.
DC, what'd you think?
I mean, I did like the match that, again, like Artis kind of alluded to, you know, they've had these two big gimmick matches recently. Both matches perfectly fine, but then something at the tail end kind of, you know, spoils it or taints it a little bit. I mean, and I can see it both ways. On one hand, it's Chris Jericho. Dude is old. Like, what do you want him to do? Like, it's still a lot for him to take that spot regardless of him landing in pads and stuff like that. But then on the other hand, I'm thinking back to WrestleMania, and we watch Shane McMahon get flipped upside down from the top of the cage, and he lands, you know, flat on his back in the middle of the ring. Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line somewhere in there.
And that's why I had zero, like, I was not upset at all the fact that there was, you know, wood, crash pads, whatever. The fact that they were trying to make it so important that this whole thing is like a steel ring, stage, whatever. And then for it to show that at the end with the angle, and then it's like, it just kind of deflated the whole fact.
You can't expect that when a cameraman is right next to this stage thing, that it's going to look great. Like, to me, that's the wrong placement for the cameraman. It's little details that are no fault of any of these wrestlers. And it's so, like, if I'm Chris Jericho, I'm like, dude, I just jumped off a cage and everybody's just crapping on this. And it's like, it's not his fault at all. Like, that's what sucks in all of this.
Yeah.
Like, it's the little details that they could have put into the staging stuff, into the camera work, into like all of these things that I just think kind of ruin the moment and take away from it. And it's unfortunate. And I think we're at a point now where, like, it's happened more than once. There's even been other things that didn't really get called out, but like, I think of some other cooler moments that they pulled off better when, like, Butcher and Dustin Rhodes went into like a staging thing at the side of the stage a few months back, like little things that they have pulled off, but there's gotta be more given to these details. It wouldn't have hurt
if it was a farther shot from where he was with Jericho. Maybe even across the ring, but you'd get then more of an idea of the impact if you could see how far he fell without seeing how he landed. You know,
I don't know how you would justify it, but somehow maybe you put that structure completely opposite, so it's like where the fans are looking at it in front of the cage, and therefore it can be all the way to the ground and not on top of the concrete stage that's already there. And then maybe you have an extra, I don't know, 5 feet or whatever to work with in terms of your padding and covering up and your camera angles and stuff like that. Just stuff like that. I don't want to see another thing like this again without more thought, maybe more practice going into it. Like, it just kills the moment.
Hey, did you feel when Jericho was about to go that they really were dragging their feet on getting him off the top of that cage? Because it looked like, a couple times they had tried to figure out exactly where they were going to throw him from, because he, you know, and then they kind of moved a little bit and play and moved back a little bit, and then, but it seemed like that they were, you know, that obviously they had tried this earlier in the day or whatever. They must have practiced it or whatever, but you could see that you know, when they were getting to that point, that they let the tension build as they were getting ready to see what happened. And it was like, it's kind of weird looking, though, I thought. You know, it's like, I don't know why.
I think it was okay, because, like, I think to, like, when I was at Cage of Death 10 at CZW, which is not a great experience, like, that was something where I saw Zandig and whoever it was, maybe Sammy Callahan or something, like, they're just waiting and waiting and waiting to, like, do the spot. And, like, you can see there's nothing going on in terms of, like, continuing to fight each other or try to fight out of it. It's just like, are you ready? Are you ready? Like, so this wasn't as bad as other situations I've seen like that. But I liked how in that situation, the camera was looking up at the top of the cage. It wasn't too close to MJF and Jericho. But then you go to that shot where the camera's right next to Jericho's face. So not only do you see these boards flipping up, but then you see Jericho kind of open his eyes a little bit and talking, and, oh, wait, no, I'm playing dead. Oh, wait, like,
yeah, I noticed
that's
that
the kind
too.
Of stuff I don't like.
He was
the
talking.
One other thing I have to point out, which is not a big deal, because we acknowledge, like, if you listen to interviews these guys do during the week and stuff, like, we're not in an era of pure kayfabe. Like, they can talk about it as a performance, as entertainment, but I tuned into the post show on YouTube right afterwards, which is usually pointless. And Shivani's hosting it and just clicking on random questions. And, like, one of the questions was just crash pads. And Shivani's like, of course crash pads, you idiot. And I'm like, can we just not? Like, can we not have, like, the company acknowledging it, clicking on that question, talking about it? Like, yeah, of course it's crash pads.
There were some other questionable things you said too. I noticed on some of his responses that I was like, is it really necessary?
Yeah, I used to watch that show, and now I really don't watch it, just because it's kind of like they're like
Alex Apontis.
Well, they're like a clique, you know. The guys, you know, like, you know, hey, we're a clique, you know. It's like, and they're you know, that's the feeling I get. Not that I have any problem with it. I like those guys and everything, but we got a break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man. I am here with the artiste, Rob Sanderson, Furby, and DC Dan Cole. And we're all in different places, but we're all together with you right now, right here on Fox Sports 1280, talking pro wrestling like we do every Saturday morning. And I wanted to get move the conversation ahead a bit. I will say we promoted just a little bit. Lex Luger was in town last weekend, the new Heroes Hideout, Eastview Mall. I'm thinking of more of, it's like it's a collector's place, definitely. But Lex Luger was there. There was probably about 100 people in line when I got there to meet him. Which was really pretty cool. Steady flow for, you know, the whole time. He was very happy and jovial, but he was, you know, he had spinal stenosis or something. He had some sort of spinal issue back in 2007, I think, that put him into a wheelchair, and he really had a hard, he's not what you remember Lex Luger as, but he was, you know, it was neat to see some of the fans out there, and I saw they were all in masks. Even guys we know who are anti-maskers were in masks there. I was there. My cousin was there. We got a picture. Did a little Four Horsemen with Luger. And I talked with Colin Delaney a little bit. They've got some other plans to bring out wrestlers to whenever, you know, come in and do some autograph signings. Nothing is for sure yet, but they did float some.
They did announce one.
Oh, was it Jerry Lawler?
At the end of August.
Oh,
yeah, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler's coming at the end of August to do a signing. So, you know, maybe Indies will be going by then, and he can come out and do part of a show too while he's in the area, you know. Double.
You mentioned Colin Delaney, just to throw it out there, the newly engaged Colin Delaney.
Yes, Colin Delaney. I saw that.
Congratulations.
He got engaged down in Disney World, where he is right now. He's going, I guess he celebrated by going to every country and having a drink yesterday.
Drinking around the world at Epcot.
At Epcot, yeah. So it's a pretty cool place. If you like Funko Pop things, there's like about a million of them there, but they also have WWE figures. You know, this is a great place if you're going to buy like a present for a wrestling fan or, you know, I mean, Funko Pops are everything. It's not just wrestling. It's Marvel. It's all these things.
Or your special Furby, you know, he likes those things too. I stopped down at the store, I think Wednesday or Tuesday or something like that. I bought a few figures. I was pretty excited. I loved it.
They're not dolls. Okay, sorry. They're not dolls. They're figures. That's right. No,
that's right.
No, but it's a nice place. Go check it out in Eastview Mall. And if they're going to keep bringing wrestlers, we're going to keep talking about it. So Jerry Lawler is coming in August. I didn't see the exact date. I'm guessing it's a weekend.
That last Sunday in August, whatever that is, 29th or something. Yeah.
So if you ever, if you never had a chance to meet the King, he was at the Comic-Con a couple of years ago. But he's
my former hockey color commentator, Jerry the King Lawler.
That's right.
I have not seen him since that day. Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, I'm sure I'll be down there to check it out. But it's pretty cool. So, but that was a lot of fun. And Ferbs, you went to Jersey last weekend to see some wrestling. So what companies did you see?
Yes, last Saturday I saw Jersey Championship Wrestling. They went away for a while. Game Changer Wrestling took over for them. That's who they turned into. But they brought back Jersey Championship Wrestling. So it was their re-debut show, opening day. It was at 3 p.m. And then also Game Changer, they had a show at 8 p.m. It was a lot of fun. Saw a lot of good wrestling, deathmatch wrestling. You know, Nick Gage versus Jordan Oliver for the GCW championship. That was a great match. Met Tony Deppen and Joey Janela after the match and talked to him for a little bit. So that was a lot of fun. But just overall, great time, great trip.
Did you ask Joey Janela if he's still dating that girl?
I did not. No.
Oh, come on. You gotta rib these guys a little bit, you know, because if he isn't, then you say, oh, good. Did you have her number? No. You get. She, no.
I was more concerned on getting station IDs.
Well, I appreciate that. And you'll be hearing those real soon, folks. But it's cool. You know, there is indie wrestling going on still. And was that also like streamed where people could have seen it and stuff?
Yeah, so Jersey Championship Wrestling, that show was actually free. It's on their Game Changer Wrestling's YouTube channel. So go back and watch it. It was a good hour, 45 minutes, two-hour show. And then you can watch GCW Ashes to Ashes on Fight TV. You can go back and buy it. They have pretty much all their shows on Fight TV.
Fight TV, which also is where you can see AEW pay-per-views, as well as a lot of the independent companies in the world. But very cool. So it's you know you had a good weekend. We got to meet Lex Luger here in town, and you know, we kind of mentioned it a minute ago, but everyone's kind of like been very down on Raw because when Eva Marie that promo came on.
The funny thing about it, they cut it out of their replay on USA's app. When I went back and watched it, they didn't even show it.
You know,
I'm just going to say I was surprised while I was sitting there watching hockey on Monday night that there was a text message from Danny saying something about Raw. And I was like, oh, he's enjoying Raw tonight. Interesting. Look at you.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
You know,
enjoying wasn't the right word.
I might not. I mean, I was going to say I might not care as much, but that would be a lie. Had they not just released some great female talent, Mickey James, Iconics, Chelsea Green, really, we're going to do this with Eva Marie again? And I don't care whatever capacity they're bringing her back in. I'm sorry, she's useless.
Terrible.
She's a pretty face. I'm sorry if that gets me in trouble for saying that, but honestly, she isn't getting brought back for her work in the ring.
Yeah, well, I think, am I wrong or not? Isn't she like going out with a guy who just got signed by NXT also?
Oh, they've always been teasing her with Brock Jr., whatever the hell his name is, yeah. Parker Boudreaux or Bordeaux or... Yeah.
So I'm guessing maybe she will debut with him as a manager, maybe managing him. I've seen pictures of him, and he, yeah, he's He's like Brock, but he's like, I think, bigger and stronger, and you know. But yeah, it was it was disappointing to see that, because we knew it was coming. We've heard the rumors for a long time that Eva Marie was interested in coming back, and apparently she left on good terms.
And I'm sorry, you bring Eva back with a vignette on Raw, and you bring back former World Heavyweight Champion Jinder Mahal on Main Event
against Jeff Hardy, nonetheless. Like two
sounds like hindering.
They are definitely hindering Jinder.
Like two relatively decent names on WWE Main Event. Not to mention, we continue the saga of Ricochet versus Mustafa Ali on Main Event. I think they've pretty much had 100 matches on that show in the last 2 years.
It's sad. It's sad. You know, it's sad. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's they obviously know what they're doing, and they do. But it's just because they're all the cuts. They made all these massive cuts, and
I watched a lot of Raw this week, but it was from 1997 and 1998. So good on you guys for suffering through that. I'm not doing it. Like, I'll watch Dark Elevation on Mondays and then something else.
Just baffles my mind how a company that produces SmackDown and NXT also produces Raw.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Raw was the flagship. Raw was the show. Raw was the show for decades, right? And I would never miss every week, whether wrestling or not. And now you can't pay me to watch it. I'm sorry. So that makes me a bad co-host of a pro wrestling talk show. So be it. I'll just shut up during the Raw segments, but that show sucks.
Oh, you're a bad co-host. No, you can talk anytime you want, mister.
Let's talk Dark Elevation.
Hold on. No, on that note, we're going to take a break because we got one more segment, and we're going to talk a little bit about Dark Side of the Ring coming back this week. You are listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with DC Dan Cole, Furby, and the Artiste, and you. And this is our last segment. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you folks. So be on the lookout for when we're going to be doing UFCs again and stuff like that, because the world is starting to start again. And I'm going to talk about a few things right now. I did tease going into break, Dark Side of the Ring re-debuted. Third season of it debuted this past week. We got to see the Brian Pillman story. And we've got a lot of good ones coming up, man. I'm super excited. You know, about a year ago, I started binging all of them because we were trapped home and couldn't go to work and stuff. I watched them all. I mean, I watched them enough that obviously people were watching them that they decided to have like an after show, kind of like, they do after the Walking Dead, you know, they had to have, you know, where they would talk about the episode and stuff. I thought it was pretty cool that they bring on wrestlers who had nothing to do with the dudes most of the time. But, so it's back on Vice TV. And also, what else is on Vice? MLW is going to be on Vice. Is that right, Furby?
Yeah. MLW debuted last Saturday. At 12 p.m. I'm not sure. I don't think they're like anything to do with MLW Fusion, like their current stuff. I think right now it's a lot of it is replays. But actually, in about a few moments or so, maybe about an hour, they're going to have another episode. So I think it's Jacob Fatu versus Brian Pillman for the heavyweight championship. That was a match that they had earlier in the pandemic. But yeah, some big stuff from MLW too coming up.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, WWE apparently is working with MLW. They're going to be doing some stuff with them. They have like a joint agreement or something like that to work out some of the NXT. They've got overabundance of people in NXT who aren't getting TV time and aren't doing anything.
It's going to be similar to WWE's previous working relationship with Evolve. Is from what I heard of. So like the guys, like you said, who aren't on TV so much, get to some extra in-ring work with MLW.
And now MLW, you know, there's one other piece of news they made this past week is that they have El Jaffe. Is that how you say it? From
El Jaffe
from Lucha Underground. He's like the matchmaker from Lucha Underground. He's like the big boss man. And he showed up on ML Fusion this past week, and apparently he's going to be there at their next taping. So this, obviously, this is I think it's pretty cool because I always thought he was like, he's the thing I just never really got because you know they were doing this whole cinematic style thing with him, with Lucha Underground, but he was the matchmaker, he was the dude. So it's like, and now he's showing up in MLW. So who knows? I mean, I think that's, you know, that's going to bring some eyes on them from people who were like Lucha Underground fans. And he also, El Jefe, he also runs a wrestling division too. What was it again?
So it was, they're kind of branching it off of the Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
It's Azteca Underground.
Yeah.
They're going to intermingle that with MLW, and there'd been talked about MLW getting a second show as well. So we'll see where that comes from. This Wednesday night, MLW is doing some sort of draft thing that'll last over the course of the month, bringing in new talent and stuff. So,
yeah, and that all started with us talking about Dark Side of the Ring, which if you catch this week's show, it's a two-hour, two-parter with Brian Pillman. Next week is the Ultra Violence of Nick Gage, and that's one you're looking forward to, Ferbs. I know.
Yeah, kind of excited.
Yeah, Nick Gage, a guy who's made kind of news lately with him and Moxley kind of throwing down on an independent. So it's pretty cool. But we're about to get out of here, but I want to squeeze some news in before we get too long. This past week on
that Savage documentary sucked. I just want to throw it out there too.
Oh yeah, the one the biography,
Dark Side of the Ring, much better than the A&E biography right now.
There's a lot of happiness, but apparently not so much with Randy Macho Man Savage when it comes to doing the biographies.
I thought it was kind of boring. I don't know.
Yeah,
he was an exciting person with a lot, and I just didn't. I don't know.
I kind of got lost in the Roddy Piper one too, to be honest with you. It's like, I mean, I know the story, but it's like, you know.
I liked the Lawler Hidden Treasures thing, but that was almost just rehashing the whole Andy Kaufman story for the millionth time.
Yes.
As opposed to just looking for treasures too. So I don't know. I like that one better than biography, but still.
Yeah. Well, biography, Scott, I think it's Booker T this weekend on the biography episode, but I wanted to mention this past week on WWE NXT that we got to see Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell take the belts, the women's tag team belts from Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. In a brutal street fight that finished the show up. And what'd you guys think of that? I mean, that was, I like them doing something with the way, but, you know, it's like, I could live without seeing Shotzi Blackheart for a while. Okay, I'm just saying.
I mean, I liked it. I liked the result, honestly. I think it was about time they threw some sort of title on Candice. I think she's been great on NXT for however long she's been there. So it's well overdue.
More exciting than the WWE women's tag team division.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. I was going to say they build them up and then they just beat them on the pay-per-views every time or on the live events or whatever they call them. So we are building up towards WWE's WrestleMania Backlash pay-per-view, which is going to be 1 week from Sunday. We've got Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and Braun Strowman in a triple threat. Bianca Belair versus Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Champ. Rhea Ripley, Asuka, and Charlotte Flair in another triple threat. So we've got just triple threats lined up for that. But on that note, I think we are going to get out of here. I did mention earlier the WWE Untold documentary on the Nexus stable. I'm kind of interested in watching that just because of the guys who came out of the Nexus.
Did watch the Miz documentary. Really liked that. Throwing that out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Very also, good. Congrats Very to good. AEW for number one in the demo for the first time ever. So
that's pretty cool.
Brilliant. That's a big deal for them.
That is a big deal, and they're doing, and they did over a million again this week too. So you gotta love it. So they rebounded from 800,000 back up to over a million. So you hype a show to a certain extent, you're gonna get a good number. It looks like, and especially something, you know, when you promise blood and guts. So on that note, we're gonna get out of here. I want to thank you, DC. Thank you, Furby. Thank you, Rob, the RT Sanderson, and I'm saying goodbye. Have a great night and body slam somebody you love.